The Extraordinary Life of Frank Derrick, Age 81, by J.B. Morrison. Read by Julian Glover. Dedication. For my mum, even if those are the only three words she reads. Prologue. I'm 81. I'm probably supposed to be saying that a lot now. Oh, look at you! And how old are you? I'm 81. That sort of thing. Sometimes not even waiting to be asked. I'm 81. Proudly offering the information at every opportunity, like when I was 5 years old. Perhaps I should wear a badge, like the ones you get stuck on the front of a birthday card. An 81st birthday card. If such a thing exists. Do they even make those? 80, maybe, but 81? Maybe I could hang some balloons with 81 printed on them above my front door. But there's probably no market for 81st birthday balloons either. I'll just have to keep saying it. I'm 81. Come inside. Have a seat. Why don't you talk down to me like you did when I was a child? See how my faculties are. Talk to me in a loud baby voice. Get me to fill in a form. Better still, you fill it in for me. Just get me to sign it. I'm probably too blind to read any small print. Sell me things I don't want. Look around for antiques. Case the joint. I'm 81. Come and have a go. If you think you're hard enough. Chapter 1. On Frank Derrick's 81st birthday, he was run over by a milk float. He would have preferred a book token or some cufflinks, but it's the thought that counts. The milk float was travelling at about 5 miles an hour when the milkman somehow lost control of the slow-moving vehicle, mounting the narrow pavement and coming to a stop, with the wheels of the milk float in the air on the low stone wall at the front of someone's garden, sending crates of milk, empty bottles, cartons of cream and a few dozen eggs sliding off the back and onto the pavement. Aside from making a mess of the garden of one of the expected big hitters in the upcoming Villages in Bloom competition, the milkman hadn't done Frank any favours either. He was underneath the vehicle. The only part of his body visible to the outside world was his right arm, sticking out from underneath the milk float, his palm facing upwards, still holding on to the pint of milk he'd just been to Full Wind Food and Wine to buy. It was exactly what the scene really needed. More milk. The upended milk float, protruding pensioner's arm, and the steady stream of dairy produce floating down the gutter at the side of the road was like a spoof news story waiting for a punchline at the end of an episode of The Two Ronnies. Frank was in hospital for 3 days. He had concussion, a broken arm, and an acute fracture of one of the metatarsal bones in his left foot. "Like the footballers get," the doctor said. "Do you play football?" "Well, not anymore. Not with this metatarsal injury." "Well, anyhow, it should respond well to some fairly simple self-care techniques. Rice therapy." "Ice therapy?" "No, rice." "Oh, I don't like rice. Never have." "No, R-I-C-E. It's an acronym. Rest, ice, compression and elevation." "An acronym? That's right. Like the stroke one?" "Like the stroke one," the doctor said. "I'll find you a leaflet." Frank also had a broken toe, the one next to his big toe, the little piggy that stayed at home, which was also his prognosis, to stay at home. He had a few cuts, some tire marks and bruising, and a face like squashed fruit. He looked like one of those horrific newspaper photographs of a mugged pensioner. "One or two of these cuts on your face may scar," the doctor said. "Oh, when you get to my age, every cut is a scar." Frank's right arm was in plaster from the wrist to just past his elbow. They'd set his arm at an angle, like in a cartoon. His arm would be stuck in a curve for at least 6 weeks. He looked like he was permanently trying to shake hands with everyone. If you'd sawn his arm off at the shoulder and thrown it, it would have come back. Before he left hospital, Frank had to take the mini mental state examination to check his cognitive state. A young and exhausted-looking doctor, in a striped shirt with a plain collar and sweat patches under just the left armpit, pulled up a plastic chair next to Frank's hospital bed and flipped open an A4 pad of paper.